You go ahead and
email. Now I'm telling you, I put a name on this hot potato for you, and I've got some good chicken over here and some broth.
All right.
My feelings gonna be hurt if you don't.
We don't eat some. Well, we better eat a little bit then.
Yeah, and then you can take a little with it, see?
I cooked up about a pound and a half of beans, and I cooked them while yesterday and last night, and I ate some last night and today. As those Kentucky Wonder beans, you've seen them, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
I mean, you've seen them, the ones that they have in stores, and these was extra good ones. They weren't in the shells hardly, and these, most of the time you get the right small shells, but you didn't, and these.
Oh, that sounds good. That really does.
I had to have a fire in the wood stove, you know, and that made it better, you know, cooking slow like that. I have a little kerosene, my hot plate wore out. I have a little kerosene stove now, and I don't like it smokes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they will just and give fumes.
Well, now your wood heater won't do it?
It cooks, yeah, it cooks good, but you see, it's too
hot.
If it ain't cool, I don't have a fire in there.
Yeah, it's been too warm for it.
See, I've been using a hot plate all for the last couple of years. Well, longer than that. But I had a kerosene stove too. But see, after I got that big flat top wood stove, I cook on it.
Well, what burnt out in your hot plate?
It just all burnt out. The wires burnt out, and they don't last now about 2 years. I didn't pay it about $10-$12 for it.
Gee,
when? It lasted a couple of years.
You think
I like a hot plate better because it don't give off the fumes, you see.
You think they could fix it?
I fixed it several times. Put connected wires, the wires are burning too.
Yeah.
They're cheap, kind of like those cheap clippers we were talking about.
Yeah.
Now, I kept one, the best that I've used, one I like the best, Mr. Eldon, about 20 years ago. He bought one from Sears and Roebuck and paid $8.50 for it, and he had it about a year, and because it made his electric bill go up a little bit, he wouldn't use it. Well, one of those burners was 3-speed, and the other one just a medium high. But the other one's 3-speed. Well, you could put your vegetables on that and cut down on the low speed on that one, and it's just like cooking on a wood stove.
Oh, really?
Just wouldn't boil enough, it would never boil over. And if you happen to forget it for 2 hours, it wouldn't burn.
It'd be nice to have one with more than one speed, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, it's good to have them that way. I like them that way. I don't like the, these, both of them is too high speed, I mean, this burned up too quick.
Yeah.
And there wasn't no way of adjusting it.
Well, how would you go about getting another one? Let me tell you,
got to hunt for them until you find one in the store. Okay. I got one had 2-speed, but second-handed from Hilton Harry. He cost $32 new, and he sold it to me for $10. If it was second-handed, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And someone got him a new range stove, you know, and didn't use a hot plate anymore, and...
Just turn it in?
Yeah, and he done some electric work with it. He took it in on that, and he let me have the 10. He fixed it.
Well,
it wasn't working so good.
This fellow was telling me he was looking for a little wood heater like yours. And he went to the replaces and priced them, and I forget where it was. He priced it, and it was $79. He come on back by Mr. John Palmer down there, and he had one, same one, for $69.
That's about what they cost now, those cast irons, Doug.
And he went over there to Mr. Thrash's, and he had one, same stove, I figured Mr. Sasser charged more than anybody else. For $50.
$50. Well, now then, you can get Mr. Thrasher probably had bought this.
Right.
Had Mr. Thrasher probably had went ahead and had this in a long time.
No.
He hadn't?
No.
Well, there are different companies. Makes a little different. Now, mine cost me $85 the way I got it. It's second handed. Mine's a steel, it ain't cast on.
No, we'll wear out, will it?
Yes, it's, I can tell it's worn a great deal. I've had it 4 or 5 years myself.
Yeah.
Now, how come me to have that in it? I did some roofing work for a man that bought that store that Buck had up there, and I bought 16 gallons of tar and put on it for him. And done all the labor and cut all those limbs back off the roof and cleaned it all up for him.
Yeah.
And he came up, you know, and I was busy and he wanted some more work done and I couldn't help him do it. He got Buster Mountain got him to let his dad-in-law fix it, told him he'd fix it, and I told him I couldn't quit while I was working, you know. And Buster wanted the keys, and I wouldn't give him the keys because this man hadn't paid me. And they eventually kept on, and Buck came to me, and I said, Buck, I'll let you have the keys if you give them back to me. And you can do that work if you give the keys back to me. He didn't give them back to me. He gave them this fella, and this fella left and never did pay me. And that store was in the store, and I got it. It cost me $85.
You had $85 in it?
Yeah, labor and material, too. He went back to Miami. They gave him the keys, you know, and, well, he sold the store, you see, to another fella.
Amen.
If I could have collected, but it cost me more than
Mr.
Weaver,
this is some of the best juice. Would you like it in a bowl with
some
bread?
Yeah, just in a bowl would be all right. Just thank you. Just,
and then this guy has
don't give that thing to thank you.
Guy has some bread over there.
Well, after all, I didn't lose too much on it. Because I think back when it was bought, it cost about $135, $140. Way back about 20 years ago. Well, I reckon that store's older than 20 years old.
Yeah.
Because they used to heat up that store there with it. Mr. May did.
And this fellow said Mr. Weaver had it. Mr.
Thrasher
had a had a brand new wood cook stove in there.
I imagine, well, he carries a little line of that. See, and he sells out, he'll go ahead and stock up just a little of it. He used to carry a good line of hardware, and all upstairs was hardware and furniture.
Yeah. Is that right?
Used to be. Most all of it was.
And Sears doesn't even list in the catalog anymore.
They don't.
No, that old cook show.
Well, they don't sell any. You could probably get one at Florence, Alabama. They still make them up there.
Yeah. Yeah, if you knew how to get a hold of them.
I don't remember now where this one was made. I could read it on it, but I've used it. I've had it 5 or 6 years, about 6 or 7 years.
Yes, sir.
I was paying $3.50 for those little hot shot stoves, you know, and they would last, some of them would last 2 years, some of them would last 1 winter. But they really was good about storing the heat.
You really had dealings with people, haven't you, Mr. Real, first and last? You know, that's a curious thing. A fella can't go ahead and do an honest day's work and collect for it.
You can. I could collect it, but he is my arm, and I didn't know. I didn't have an address. I think I found it the other day, and but see, it's been so long. I don't know where he's even living now.
Yes, sir. Looks like any business you get into, you're
going to lose some. You're going to lose in any kind of business.
Do you ever lose in the barber?
A barber? Oh, my goodness, I've lost lots in barber work.
How would that come about?
People didn't have the money, and I'd go ahead and cut the hair and charge it to them, and they never did pay it.
Did you put it down your books?
Yeah, I had it down in books. Some of them, you know, there's poor people, you know, and hard and kind of hard up, and they'd go to leave. They'd come to me and move my, give my name and address. They're going to send it back. I said, forget about it. Go ahead. I said, help somebody else if you see them in distress.
Well, couldn't they give you a sack of beans or something?
Well, most of them that beat me didn't want to beat me. Didn't mean to. Some of them said, no, I'm going to send it to you. And they'd send it back to me. Just say it. Yeah, a lot of them would.
But you didn't press them.
No, I knew the circumstances there, and it was hard for them to make a living.
Yeah. Did you have a friend?
It's kind of like the hand worked down at the mill, you know, they give Babbitt back at that time. And they asked me how much would I discount it if I'd take a nap for high cuts and shaves. Most of them charge them 10, 15, 20 cents.
Yeah.
I told them, I says, if you can work for it, for what you get down there and take Babbitt, I says, I can cut your hair for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't discount it. If
And you didn't discount it?
Mm-mm, not a bit.
Well, now, how did you get your money out of that?
I'd have to go down there and pay their price higher than I could have to pay anywhere else and get it. I would ask them if could I take their Babbitt, you know, and trade it out. I didn't ask them to give me cash. And they said yes. Probably Mr. Franklin, that's Benny's one that's run it now, his father. He probably would have given me cash if I'd ask him to, but I wouldn't do it.
So you trade it out?
No, I just go down and buy something with it, you know.
And they charge higher than other people?
Yeah, they charge a little higher than anyone else at that time. Now then, they can't do all those things.
It's too easy to go to another place.
Well, they don't. The law don't let them do that now. They have to pay off in cash down there.
Oh yes, yes.
I don't know. Some of them, I imagine, goes maybe takes take a check. Most all those work for the week, you know.
Well, look, Mr. Weaver, what sort of store does he have down there now? Is it a general store?
No, I think Ms.
Ms. Denton.
Ms. Denton. She has it. I think she's the one who has the store down there and runs it.
Well, is it a general store?
I don't know. I haven't been in it in a long time. It used to be just drinks and groceries and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Now, Mr. Franklin used to have a general store down there, a commissary.
Yeah.
I call him commissary.
Yeah. Oh, he called it commissary?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How long did that last after you come?
Oh, it must have lasted 20 years or 30.
That lasted well on up, didn't it? You never had any business dealings with Mr. Boyd, did you?
I bought 3 yearlings from him. Three yearlings, and he was supposed to let me have 5 more, but he never did let me have the good ones.
How was that?
Well, he said he'd give me a price on them all, and I bought those, and I took the other ones. He says, how about taking these on? And I carried them on, you see, and one of them was on the lift, you see, and I carried them and fed them. I didn't think I could save that one, but I did. And he used to get the others up for me, but never did do it.
I don't believe I follow that, Mr. Wheeler. He had some... You bought some cows from him?
Bought some yearlings, calves and yearlings. Just like anyone else going and buying.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Boyd was a pretty nice man. He just put a little flicking on that.
Yeah.
So, but I come out all right. I saved. I took him up and fed him. You see, and I came out all right on him.
Well, let me tell you, Mr. Weaver, the impression I have is, in them days, especially with cattle, you kind of took for granted that people were going to be a little slick.
Well, I thought kind of something a little bit about it when he wanted me to take those 3 on. I told him I'd rather haul them all at the same time. And he said, well, how about taking these on with you and then coming back and getting the other and give me time to get them up out of the pasture. And I'd go back out there. He said he hadn't had time to get them up and hadn't had time to get them up. And I went to just go walking, didn't ever go back no more. And I said, well, let me know when you get them up. He never has let me know yet.
Well, what was wrong with the ones that you took?
You didn't catch it?
Mm-hmm.
I told you that they're down on the lift, poor. We got in the bog, and one of them, and the screw hammers, and one of them been in it.
Oh.
Well, you see, I knew I wouldn't make nothing on those, you see. I'd be just luck. If I didn't figure, I said, if I lose 2 of them out of this, I'll get my money back. 2 of the worst ones, you know, ones I got. But I didn't give a 3, and I saved all 3 of them. I carried them and had to carry this and one of them to the house and put it in the stall and feed it. It couldn't get up and help it up.
And you did take a chance.
Well, you see, I figured if I did happen to lose that, and I didn't think I could live when I was buying it. I gave him $15 for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did you get it? How'd you get it home?
Well, it could walk, you know, if you'd help it up, you know, and it turned cold, come a cold day, you'd have to go out and help it up for a week it couldn't get up. It'd been in the bog and stayed in the bog.
Oh.
What they do when they get stuck in the bog like that, if they stay in length of time, they almost starve to death.
They freeze, the legs paralyzes, and the blood don't circulate down in there.
Oh.
And they can't use the legs hardly when they get out. Stay in there a few hours and they're dead.
Just, no, it don't take no time?
No, it don't take long. See, I got there a few days before that, and I helped, Mrs. Boyd said she had a helper down there down at the spring in the bog and asked me if I'd go down there and help her get it out. And I told her yes. Went down there, and I had lots of ropes, you know, I was buying and selling cattle then. And so I put the rope on her, on it, and I told her, I said, now when we pull it, get it out, and I pull it out, and this boy, you'd be ready to run, because it, 1 out of 10 is going to run, 9 out of 10 is going to run at you. And she just did get out of the way of it. I thought, sure, it was going to hit her, but just it made a dive at her, and it's a week that she got out of the way of it. And that was the one that I had such a time with. Then the screw guns got back in it after that. If I carried it home.
Uh-huh.
You mean over to your house?
Uh-huh. not where I live now, but on the other side of town over there. So I had a good place down there. Well, you know where the top 10 is?
Sure.
That was all in a pasture.
Yeah.
About 10 acres, I believe, or 10, 15 acres there. And I had that rented and had a good fence around it. The others did come out and done pretty good. There's a lot in there for them to eat, you know.
Yeah.
I grazed them in there.
And they never been down?
No, the other two hadn't. And I went to feed them cottonseed meal, and I soon brought them out. There's plenty of roughness there for them to get.
Well, why didn't Mr. Boyd bring them out?
Yeah, I couldn't. I told him if he'd feed his cows better, he'd make more money, but he didn't believe he'd feed and paid. He figured he lost $250, and he asked me to figure up how much would it cost him to feed his whole herd. I figured up $250. He said, well, I figure I'll lose about $250 a year. It wouldn't pay me to feed then. But see, he'd had those for profit, you know, did he lose? He said he lost about $250 worth every year.
You mean he didn't feed at all?
No, nothing but maybe pull a little more for him or something like that.
They had to make their own living.
Mm-hmm. You know, cows can't do that. Of course, range cattle and part bremers back at that time get by. Now, whitefish, you can't do that. They're starved to death. Kind of cows you got if you don't have something from deep. See, they don't get around as fast, and those other ones will eat things that they won't eat. Now, you got cattle here. I'd rather have them. I'd rather feed them. I fed mine. I'd take just any kind and feed it. You'd make money on it back then.
You know, Mr. Whip, this has been the darndest fall I ever saw.
You've had plenty of feed just for what I did.
Yeah, and you know what? There's still grass back there, little tender grass shooting up.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some of it is tough on top,
mm-hmm.
and it's got that growth underneath. And it's just as tender and juicy. And those cows look just like it in the middle of the summer.
You had a good fall this year and had a few more showers than you usually do.
Yeah.
And that helped you too.
Yeah. Now this last 3 inches, that'll last a long time, winter time.
Mm-hmm. You know, of course you can expect a lot of people to get scared, you know, and anything like that. Mr. Boyd, I brought those over here. I bought them from him. He wanted them that way.
Yeah.
And put you in the cold old phone. So that I brought them out here and swapped him for two that he said was fat and he had plenty of grass, you know. And let him look at them and he told me to take them out of that he'd give me his two for fat. For those three, then he had plenty of feed, you see. Wouldn't cost him anything, and he'd make more money would to keep those twos already fat.
Yeah.
And I turned them loose, and one of them had a little brimmer in it, and you know, when you haul them, they're just as gentle as they could be when I got them. And when you haul them, they get scared, you know. Well, I let them out, and they'll always run a little piece, and they're 9 out of 10, you see. They're up. It's about this high and this way and up, one up about this high. Of course, you take 15, let's see, I think it's $15 a piece I paid him for. And just an average. Well, I knew that one is taking chances on him, but Mr. Boyle's having plenty of feed. I brought him over here to him like I told him I would. He said he didn't care if they was poor, and he looked at him. And I told him, I said, now, way I do it, I said, I'll go ahead and get some cottonseed meal and I'll feed them a little bit. A little cottonseed meal and let's get the other and they'll cut pep right out of it. Well, cause it run off, you know, a little piece, you know, out there, and he got afraid that he thought they were wild, just cut up out of the woods. And they had plum gentlemen. So that he wouldn't let them have his then. They've tried to unload them out here and right out here.
Why, Mr. Weaver?
Well, nothing I could do. And the fence come wind, and I told him, I said, well, I'll have to get some help to catch him, and I'll have to wait a few days before I can handle him now. I said, they'll be hard to catch. And I said, I don't have time to stay here now, Mr. Boyle. I said, you shouldn't trade with a man then back out on him after and get him in that shape. So the fence down over there, and two of them got out, or somebody turned them out, one. And another fellow called me up and told me they was out. He said they could stay in there a little while, you know, and I asked him if they could stay in there a few days. I said, I'll pay if you're charging for it. So did I. Man lived over there close to where, I know the man's name just as well, but I can't think right now. But he was one sent the word that he thought this out, you know, and I came over and got some boys, about five or six boys, we went over and caught them.
Yeah.
We got out after them, running down, caught them. We caught all three of them, rode them back up, and I carried them on there, put them in this other place then.
You had time of it, didn't you?
Well, you take, that'll happen a lot of time when you're buying and selling.
Had he had any experience with cattle at all?
Who, Mr. Boyle?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he is too close. He would never feed.
Mr. Boyle's here. I mean.
Oh, Mr. Boyle? Mm-hmm. Yeah, his was bad. But he had all this whole place for two little steers to run in. See, he'd have come out good. Now I'll tell you how this turned out. After that, in the spring, that was before Christmas, and after I'd fed him all the winter, and I kept up with it, the fellow wanted to buy him. He had plenty to graze on through the summer, wouldn't cost him a penny in the spring. And they'd grow, they was twice as large as when I sold them to him as well, and I bought them. He wondered what I'd take for him. I told him I'd take $100 for him. And he asked me if he could pay me part down and pay along. I said, yeah, you can have them that way. And so he paid me part of it. And that fall, I told him, I said, while they're fat, I said, now that big heifer there, I said, I believe those two steers will bring on the market right now enough to pay bring you a little bit more than you paid me for the three in the spring. And I said, you have that, and I said, you have that one free. And I says, if you want to, I'll haul them for you for nothing. Sell them, and I'll take out and sell them for you, and I'll take out what you owe me, and you can have the rest. And he got that one and $15 or $20 that he made. Now, but that's kind of luck that I saved him. If I had the experience of knowing what to done, and I wouldn't have come out all right on him. But they sold those, and he got one free and $15 more for the two, and I hauled him for him for nothing.
Mr. Beaver, you know that what that sounds like. That sounds like a fella in the cattle business had a right smart work, and he wasn't sure at all about where
that's right.
He's going to get his money.
Well, you don't either. Look at you. What time you had with that? And can you get your money back out of that cow that's got his foot hurt?
Well, I tell you, when I first come out here, I bought some cows off at the market, and I got a few with Bremer in them. And I'm telling you, they gave me trouble.
You don't get Bremer. I stayed off of it all I could.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know this, and I thought it had a little Bremer in it. I didn't know it, that heifer, but it showed more Bremer after it got grown than it did when I bought it.
Yeah.
You see, it's so poor and weak, it couldn't show its Bremer much. It couldn't all run, you know.
I got one out here I never could catch. We hemmed it up. We got it up there in the corral one time. And as soon as it got loose, it just went right over the corral and knocked the top board off.
They'll do that. I seen one white face in my high stock body truck, pickup truck, just walked up and was putting his feet up, climbing and got his feet over, right away and going to go out.
Did you ever see a horse climb out?
I don't think I ever did. Well, this bull is a white face and weighs 1,050 pounds, like I had to market, like I had to pick up.
Yeah.
And what we had to do that was to catch it, hold it, grab it and hold it, and put the lasso rope on. We put two and tied his head down at the front before he couldn't. He'd went on over before I'd got the game. Man, I was worse than that. I didn't know a white face. I never had one to cut up with me before.
Well, yeah, they can be rough.
I know they're stronger. They're stronger, and they can put their weight against it and push any other cow out of their way if he just pushes them. But the Jerseys and other cattle is faster than a white face. And if they happen to get the advantage of a white face, because if they put their heads together, you just watch the same way. That white face will just push the rest of them out of the way and go on.
Yeah.
He's stronger. Y'all may have noticed it, may have noticed it. But
I haven't had any very wild ones, Mr. Weaver.
Just those few?
Yeah, and they kind of eat at the table with us, you know. Their pushing is not very vigorous.
No, they don't do it. Now, it's very seldom you find one to go getting you. Or try to do anything in a white face. I never did find. That's the only one I found is very big rough for me.
Well, you get some range cows, some white face that's been on the range.
Well, this is a full blooded bull.
They'll show you a thing or two.
I like to fool with cattle, but I got to worry that I have a head trouble anyway, and if you stay around the stock market too much, some people can take it and it don't bother them much. But I'd go up there and buy lots of them off the market, then I'd sell when I got ready, and I'd sell on the market.
Hey, we don't need anything else. I tell you what, put a little of this in Mr. Weaver.
Right, no, that's all right. Thank
I want
you.
I'll take some of this home with you.
No, thank
this
you.
This is good and you'll be good tomorrow.
So that in dealing in cattle, I lost money. I made on some more than I expected, and then sometimes I lose just on a yearling that high. I've lost as high as $5 on it and hold it. Market go down on me, you know, and it'd catch me. I could guess at it and guess the weight good enough, but the market's what you have that you had to pay.
I tell you what would be hard for me, Mr. Weaver, I never traded much, you know, is to do like you're trading, like you said there with Mr. Boyles, and then after you got over here, you see, he back out.
Well, now, then, if he'd have backed out when you looked at him, that's all right.
Yeah.
But
yes.
When he had me turn loose, I told him, I said, well, Mr. Boyles, I said, now, I'm not going to bring you anymore. And I didn't.
Yeah. Well,
I says, I'm not going to bring you anymore. I says,
every time I passed by here, every time I saw Mr. Boyles, I'd think of that, you see.
Well, I didn't. I just forgot it and went on. Lots of them pull things like that on you. You'd go ahead and somebody else, if you put up a little money on them. Of course, if you had it and wanted to go to court, you could have won that.
Yeah.
You could put up money on somebody to come along offering a little bit more than you, or you paid it for, and they'd go ahead and sell them. Before you come pick
me
up.
But that would worry me, you see.
You can't let things you're going to lose and you're buying and selling.
Yes.
I've speculated ever since I was 15 years old.
You got used to it.
Well, I noticed and heard others sit around listening to old people talk and all like that. They all made mistakes. They got stuff. Sometimes they'd make more than they thought they would. Come out and they'd guess at it, you know, and it'd be better than they thought it would be, and it'd come out better, and I've done the same thing, then I've lost on them.
Yeah, but, it's all right just as long as it's miscalculation on your part, but when they just out and out try to beat you.
Well,
like that.
They didn't, in a way, listen, they hadn't had the experience that I'd had in buying and selling, you see,
yeah.
And in a way, they didn't think that they was doing wrong, but It was. It cost me. It's costing me, you see.
Mr. Boyles just didn't know any better.
No, and they hadn't had no experience, you know. And well, I kind of looked over, you know. Mr. Boyles was a fine man. Now, I liked him better than I did his wife.
Yeah, I know.
Because now he didn't. When she my dogs was cross went across running that way, and she sent Mr. Boyles out there and tell me to, she didn't want my dogs crossing her property. Somebody else's dogs had run her cows.
Yeah.
Well,
and you couldn't talk. You couldn't reason with her.
I didn't try to. I just said, just as soon as I can catch him, Mr. Boyles. I said, Mr. Boyles. I said, now I don't have a black and tan and a red one. Mine's all spotted walker dogs. And I says,
that didn't mean a thing to him.
Well, he said, Mr. Weaver, I said, yonder's mine. And I said, see what I've got here in that truck I picked up? I said, that's mine. He looked at it, and Mr. Weaver said, that wasn't the dog that run those cows. I said, I know. I said, you can't get a walker dog hard to run a cow. Douglas Boyd's got a puppy that I let him have here a while back. And he's been trying to get to run a deer and won't run a deer. I told him, I said, Doug, I let one fellow have several years ago have one. It went but a year old, and I'd been running the fox and with him, and he was good on the fox.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, man bought him, and I said, they had to try him on six deer before they'd get him run one. After run the first one, it's the best deer dog they had. After he got started, you know.
He just didn't know he's supposed to run it.
Well, they're bred run nothing but fox and walker dogs is, and then run after that. Well, now some dogs, young dogs, you can soon get them started, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Some old dogs, I had one old dog that they tried and tried, and they never could get him. Before I got him, they couldn't get him run a deer. Never did. And it took me a long time, nearly 2 years, to get him run a bobcat. Wouldn't run over with a rabbit and a fox. And
Mr. Weaver, you know, it just occurred to me.
But after he got run bobcats and got to fighting them, by the way, he was just a good, he was an extra good one. But he wouldn't run for a long time. And you get the whole rub. Well, I didn't get rid of him because, boy, when you turned him loose, he under the fox. And that's what I wanted.
You know, I just thought about this, Faye. Mr. Weaver was talking about them fellas, you see, back there. It's a good sport just to try people out and take them out and let them walk back and all like that. Now, I can't quite, it just occurred to me. It looked to me like if there's anything like that going on, he'd be in on that.
Me? Well, I'm a stranger come here. They're going to have fun out of me. Well, I knew all about this stuff, you see.
You'd had a hand in it yourself?
No, I'd never been into it. I never done a fellow that way in my life. And there hadn't been and hadn't since.
Well, now that's hard to believe, Mr. Weaver.
Well, that's right. I'll tell you about the dirtiest thing I ever done. That was the funniest thing if you'd have been into it. When we first got the no fence law, well, one of our neighbors, he had a big sawmill. He had six big fine oxen that he took in the woods and hills and hollers and guffs and snaked out the drugs, the logs out the way he could blow them on his Durrigan, he called it. You remember that, don't you, Durrigan?
Yeah.
So that when the first got, we was about 15 or 16 years old, I think Buck and I was, somewhere along there. And when they got the no fence law, you know, we all put the had to put all the cattle up. Well, he'd do when he wasn't going to use his oxen the next day, he'd just come in and feed them and put the bells on them and turn them loose. He had those big old long bells that long, you know. Before he could hear them, when he got ready to go, if he was going to use them the next day, he'd go and drive them in the night before and feed them and use them. Well, some of the boys at Lynn got a hold of some bells and got out there and got the people in the field, you know, in July, just as the cotton and corn got in its best. And they'd slip out there and go tap on these bells, you know. And everybody, they'd begin to jump up out of the bed and holler and get in the dogs, and they'd take out after and run these boys, you know. So we got in on that. Buck and I and two more boys. Well, we was going to get to, and one of them was going to town, and he was going to come and join us afterwards. He told us about what time he'd be back that night. And we got the other that had the oxen, you know. And got his boy and borrowed those bells, you know. And what we'd do, we'd slip out there and hide out around the place, you know, in that dark place, back out where they wouldn't see us and wouldn't come by us, you see, right over us and rough. And two would do that, and the other two would go out there with the bells, you know, and slip out there and go rattling, you know. And man, you'd see lights come on, and they'd get out there, and they'd run us all over the place, you know. And we'd have to run. Well, we had so much fun my mother's cousin, and the way he acted, he was afraid to get out in the dark. He stayed on the porch and hollered to run, telling all the rest of them to run, and get the cow out of the field and just run. He's eating his cow, eating his cotton up and his corn up, and had them, they was calling the dog, and we, you know, they wouldn't, never a dog would ever come out there and bother us, and everybody called for the dog, and they'd be gone from home. I don't know why that happened, but it did. Well, I got in sync like that.
Yeah.
What was so funny, one of these boys had been dating one of my sisters, and when we got through with all the rest of them, then we went to Dad's, you know, and Buck and I went in, these boys didn't wait long enough. And we told them how to go and come back around, and we told our sisters then. We got out there, and when they called us, and we got up to help them run them. We was helping run these other two boys then, you see. We put the mother and sister out there right where they're supposed to come in there, and they run out there with brushes and tried to head those cows and hit at them and everything. Then we'd all get together and laugh and tell about it, see. But we got into it that time. Dad liked to tore us up for it.
Oh, he did.
Buck and I didn't care about him getting mad. We didn't blame him much, you know. But he was the only one that ever got mad.
Your daddy?
And he wouldn't have done it. Buck and I had been into it. It was such a good joke on him, you know, running those cows and mother and my sisters all out there heading these boys, you know. And my mother just laughed, and my sister just laughed about it.
Oh, did it? At night.
Yeah, dark as it could be, as dark as it is tonight out there.
Dark night, overcast.
Yeah. And what got me, though, I had on a light shirt, and we went back the second time, you know, and my cousin couldn't wake him up with a bell, and they all had me, they put on me to go and call him, wake him up, and help him run the cows. And I say that's the hardest thing I ever done. I wanted to laugh, and I strained to my side was hurting, and how they're doing. But I couldn't laugh, and I had to help them run the cows. I told them, I said, you all run them, I'm tired. And they run off and left me. I was laughing. I couldn't run for laughing.
Miss Weaver, I never heard anything like that. It looks me like that.
Now, I'll get into something like that, but...
That ain't going to hurt anybody.
No, it doesn't hurt anybody. And you know what, so... After I did that, I had to stay with him going back, and my mother's cousin was bragging on me, said I was the finest man in that country and best fella to come let him know and call him up. And I'm standing there and I'm listening to all that time, me on the
way. You in on it all the time.
Yeah, I wouldn't tell him. They went outside the next morning, they couldn't find no cow tracks, nothing but boys' tracks, and they knew what it was.
Oh, they caught up with it. Mr. Well, Weaver, that is, how in the world did anybody ever think of that? That's the thing.
Well, somebody there in Lynn, I don't know, some of my cousins and some boys out in Lynn, Alabama, they got into it. Well, one person place we went, and their boys helping us later, they had heard about it, you know, and they got out there to make it be funny to let us have some fun, and they run us just the same and played like they didn't know it, but they did.
Yeah.
But they had heard about these other boys, you know.
Yeah.
And nobody else but just one place had heard about it we went to.
Yeah. Well, that'd make sense.
And so they wouldn't run us much, you know, just a little to make it kind of funny, you know, to make the joke be... let us make a sake, we had a little joke on them. They told us about there. They'd already heard about it, and they just did that, you know.
But the first time or two, that would really.
If they hadn't heard about it, they'd done the same thing, just like all the rest of them did.
But now, that first one, now, that he had his oxen, and he put the bell on them and let them out.
Yeah, and let them graze, you know, when he wasn't using them, so that they could graze, you know, on Saturday and Sundays when he didn't have a special delivery to make with his oxen on Saturdays, he wouldn't deliver nothing to nobody on Sundays. He wouldn't work on Sundays and do nothing on Sundays.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what kind of fellow he was. We had poplar up there, and he saved all the nicest heart poplar and kept us stack of it, and he took a plane and dressed it down. Had it ready. When anyone passed away in that country, he went right to making the casket, and he could make the prettiest casket you ever seen. How that poplar, you know, he'd write out a bill of what he wanted, and some of us go to town and get the cotton and all the packing and what he wanted to dress it, and he really had them fixed nice. And he wouldn't take a penny for that to save your life.
And you saw some of his work.
Oh my goodness, see, this casket you buy at the store is just made out of anything. But he used nothing but hard poplar, and he'd last on and on. And he put it together just like it grew that way.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't charge nobody a penny.
That was awesome.
And man got along good all the time too. You take people try to live better, they live better, they'll get along.
Yeah.
You can just watch that any time. Better people live, better they'll get along.
Well, now,
of course we'll all have hard luck, but we'll.
He just needed one board on each side.
No, he had a bottom to it too, and at the top he made them just like they make them.
But I mean, it was wide. He had wide boards.
Yeah, he had wide boards. And he cut them out and shaped them just like the caskets is made today. Well, you couldn't. I think myself, you know, I don't really think we should do that, but I thought about letting him make me one.
And just keeping it.
Just keeping it. Well, you see, I'd have kept it a long time. I got thinking about it. I said, that'd be so much trouble to keep it. Some people did do that.
Sure.
Some people would buy the casket, they wanted to go and pick it out for sale.
You know, in the war, I was over in China.
Uh-huh.
That's what they did, and I've seen it. I've seen the caskets that they have in the house.
Mm-hmm.
They keep it there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they get nice ones.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they spend more money for cattle, for that casket than they do for the oxen.
Now, I'll tell you, Reed, I tell so many things on myself, I don't like to talk about nobody else. I like to tell it all on myself. You take 1927, I was traveling with Mr. Gunther, and it was Peter Henderson Seed Company, all over the state of Florida. And so that we go all around, and I'd be waiting on him and stopping. And we're selling seed in the summertime after the crop was all through, and labor was, you couldn't get a job back then. Wasn't nothing for the labor to get. Well, I'd stop, and I could see a bunch of colored people out there, you know, and I'd walk up to them and ask them if they'd like to work some. They'd say, sure, we sure would. Said, we sure like to work. I says, well, I may can't pay you as much as you used to getting, 50 and 75 cents a dollar a day, as much as anybody got then for a whole day's work. So that, I says, we only pay $5 a day. Oh, he says, I work cheaper than that. I work a whole lot cheaper than that. When you want us to go to work? I says, well, it'll be about couple of weeks, something like that, and I'll be ready for you. He said, well, here, take my name. He said, you let me know, and I'll go to work for you. I says, we talk on a little bit, and he says, what kind of work do you do? I said, well, I'm with the New York Casket Company. And selling caskets. And I says, I want you all to demonstrate caskets for me. And I'll do the selling. You all won't have nothing to do. Just go along and stay in hotels and go along with me. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We'll sure do that. And I says, we'll pay your hotel bill, too. Yes, sir. I want to go. I want to go. How many can you use? He'd say. I says, I don't know. I'll just have to put them on as I need you, and I can notify all of you all that wants to go. I said, now all we ask you to do is to dress up and get in. When someone come in, want to look at the casket. We want you to dress up and look like you're dead. Get in the casket and look like you're dead, Dad. Let us pull that cover over you, see? And says, we don't want you to die. I says, do we lose a casket? We can't take you out then if you die in there. We've got to bury you and we just lose a casket. We don't want to lose a casket. Says, now we're selling for $100 a piece. And you pay a dollar down and a dollar a month. And it takes you 8 years to pay for it. And all we require you to do is we'll take your order and ship you the casket out, and you take it out of the depot and carry it to the house and put it under your bed. Every night before you go to bed, you dust that off, and every morning you get up, you dust that casket off. No, sir, mister. I don't believe I want that job. And you talk about laughing. All the time we'd stop, you know, and we'd have to wait on someone, you know, be waiting, you know. If I see him out there, I'd get out there, get my mind off of the work, you see.
Do you know that upstairs there, and Mr. what's his name? Who's the lady that runs the store down there at the mill? Ms. Denton?
No, that is up there, and that used to be up the stairs in Buck's place, that casket did.
Yes.
I never seen but one fella when I was working there and up there, and there's still a casket in there. I don't know if it's still there or not.
Yeah.
Of what happened. But Billy Mountain was up there, and I asked him to get in there and lie down in that there, and nobody else never did, but he got in there and lay down in that there and stayed as long as anybody wanted to see him. Billy Mountain, the Buster's boy.
Well, now that was, somebody told me that was a prank Mr. Denton used to play.
Oh, he used to put it on people, get them to go up there, you know, Baron Denton, that's Ms. Denton's husband.
Yeah.
Yeah, he used to pull jokes on them. But I was up there after I had charged that building for a long time, you know, and done that work with the man. I sort of, when he come back up, you know, he'd pay me, you see, and I got up there. He pulled a slicking on me. He even got me to go from over here at, Florida Home, back way back in there, and to see some real estate people he had been over there. He wanted me to ride over there with him, and I took off from work, went over there and rode with him. He said he'd pay me for it, and he did. I ain't never got the first penny. I didn't think about him being that kind of a man. He bought and sold real estate, you know, and he was slick.
Yeah.
You get someone, you know, be so nice, you know. He paid me for moving and cleaning up that place and all like that. Wanted me to do that, all that work for him, you see, and I did it and bought the material and paid for it myself. I've never got a penny of that. He slipped off and left. Well, if I'd have got a lawyer, it'd have been cost me a whole lot more.
And who's that?
There's a fellow that bought that store from Mr. May before my brother bought it.
Mr. Denton?
No, Mr. May.
Yeah.
See, Denton worked for Mr. May.
Yes.
He worked for him a long time.
And then he opened his own store.
Yeah. Mr. May offered me the job, but I was making so much more money in business than I couldn't support.
Well, I didn't quite get that now. What was that about the real estate? Who was that?
Daughtry from Miami.
Oh, that's another fella. That's not Denton.
No, Denton wasn't one, done it. I got the job for Denton. Mr. May offered it to me, and I told him, I says, I knew Barron that had a right smart experience in the store with Mr. Mott before before he died.
Yeah.
And I told him, I says, I believe I know where you can get a man, and he's hunting a job and couldn't find one.
Really?
It's hard to get a job then.
Well,
he says, who? And I says, Ben Denton. He says, has he had any experience? And I says, yes. Well, he says, we decided we'd give you the job if you'd take it. I says, Mr. May, I don't believe you could pay me as much as I make for a Ford in the store right now. And he says, how much? And I said, well, I'm not going to tell you exactly because I don't know. I don't make the same all the time. I said, some months I make more in business than I do others. But I says, my hours is better than $200 a month. He says, I couldn't pay that. I says, I know most people don't want to pay over $50 or $60 for the best in a store a month. And I says, I don't know what Ben will work for you for, but I'll... He said, well, how about you tell him to come see me? Well, I knew he was needing a job bad because I'd loaned him $50, you see. And so that I didn't tell him I was going right on in, but I just went around the block, went on, drove around the bearings. He was at the house, and I didn't have the job in some time, and he needed it. And told him, I'd been talking to Mr. May, and for him, and I recommended him to that he'd make him a good man. He says, well, you tell him come talk with me. I said, you can. And I said, he'll tell you how much experience he's had and what he knows about it. I was talking to Mr. May then, and so he went ahead and he took the job. Then Ms. Denton, he gave Ms. Denton a job there working in the store too.
Oh, really? You and mean both of them worked?
Both of them did. Well, I let Baron wait his 2 years, and I asked him, I'd call. He told me it was 90 days. I told him, I said, I won't need it for first season opens up this fall. But I said, I'll need it during the first season. And he hadn't been working very long then, you see. And I knew that it had it pretty hard, you see. And he had his mother and his sister, too, to look after. So that I went to him before him. I said, Baron, I says, I'm going to have to borrow a little bit of money during the first season. I always borrow maybe $500, something like that. I says, are you going to be able to pay me that? I'd let you use it 6 months, you see it. So that he says, I tell you, I can't right now. I said, well, I'll just go ahead. You just forget about it then until next year. And I says, you can use it right on. I can borrow a little bit more money, you know, if I want to. And I just borrow it and pay the interest on it. I let him use it, got him the job, and let him use it 2 years. I didn't charge him penny interest for it. He basically paid me all of it, you know.
Yeah.
But
how much did Mr. May pay him?
I don't know. I never did ask him what he paid him. But he basically got paid him about $75. Of course, everything went up, you know. He got paid $7,500 a month, I think.
But he had to work for it.
Oh, yeah, working in the store from 7 o'clock to 9 through the week, and from 7 and 8 and 9 through the week, and 11 o'clock on Saturday night, sometimes 12.
Yeah.
And what year was that, Mr. Weaver?
That was back in about 4 or 5, somewhere along in there. Just as a boom, kind of boom, was starting down here.
Now, Baron didn't have his family then, his children?
He had one boy, I think, or maybe two then.
But the girl hadn't come along then.
Let's see. No, it's one boy and one girl. Then Robert was later. So he had three children.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Robert's the youngest.
Yeah, Robert's the youngest.
Yeah. Did those children, any of them take after him?
Well, some in some way, and some that didn't. Ben, I don't know where he ever drank very much. Some said he did, but I don't know where he ever drank very much. He did. He was quiet with it, you know.
He never got it.
But Ernest drinks too much. I don't know where Robert's pretty close to his money, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know where Well, he drinks a lot of beer. He used to. I don't know what he does now or not. Of course, it's none of my business how much they drink, you know. But they've been nice to me.
Now, the girl's a hard worker.
Yeah. Well, you take Dorothy Fowler. She married his sister. Brad's sister married Mr. Fowler's, his Brad's sister. His wife is.
Oh.
And
was Barry,
she's a hard worker. They got.
Was Barry in hot tempered?
I don't know. I always thought Barry's pretty nice.
Well, where does that girl get that hot temper?
I didn't know. Is she a high temper?
Oh, she is a high temper.
I haven't been around her much since she got grown. You see, yeah. She's just there once in a while. Right. I haven't seen her. Well, sometimes been 10-15 years, I didn't see her.
Miss Denton not high temper.
She's got plenty of temper, Miss Denton has, but she's quiet with it. She tries to control it.
Oh, I see.
Well, anybody's got temper. I've got temper, but I try to control it, not let it rule me. Of course, I'm like everybody else. I've got mad when I wouldn't have done it, I guess, and then I got mad and showed myself a few times like anybody else has.
When did you ever get mad?
Well, I try to just look down and walk off now if I don't like a thing.
When did you ever get mad,
Mr. I try not to never get mad, but you can't help it sometimes, Arthur.
Well, now, you've named a lot of cases where you were in a tight spot, and you never did get mad.
Oh, now, if you tease me, I don't care how much you tease me. What kind of joke you put on me is it's just fine with me. I get a kick out of it. I don't care.
Well, now, when did you ever get high-tempered?
Well, I've never gotten high-tempered but a few times in my life. But sometimes somebody make you do. You jump on you and go to beat you. Wouldn't you scrap back? Would you run?
Well, yeah, but that's not. You wouldn't count that.
Well, I've never pulled a gun on nobody in my life. And never threw the gun, never threatened nobody with a gun.
Well, now, you see, over here, Mr. Boyles, you didn't get high-tempered over here.
No, I didn't. It was no use. It's just one of those things.
And working Mr. Boyd over there.
Well, it wouldn't have done me any good.
Knew him all the rest of your life. All the rest of his life.
And I didn't think about Mr. Boyd doing it. I don't know. I figure Mr. Boyles hadn't had any experience with his. And I figured that he just got scared, you know, and afraid he could never contain me.
Yeah.
Well, they wasn't. There was no trouble training. It just, I had to wait till I got over that scare from hauling. Never been hauled before. And after I hauled him, they
well,
didn't give me much trouble.
You see, I never saw Mr. Boyles. He died before I...
Well, he was a fine man.
Everybody liked him.
Yeah.
But now, Mr. Boyd, I knew Mr. Boyd. I knew Mr. Boyd before I knew you. And I used to talk to him over at Micanopy.
Well, you think Mr. Boyd's mind got bad over
there. Yes, but I knew him before that.
You did?
Oh, yes. I knew him before that. And I've heard him talk. He talked well.
Yeah.
I love to hear him talk. Now, after that, his mind got a little flighty. And I didn't go...